If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. Today it is all about season 11 of Married to Medicine, which just wrapped on Sunday night with the third part of its fantastic reunion. Today, to help me break it all down, to unpack everything that we saw this season from the Sweet Tea Quad Dr. G King situation to the Phaedra Parks of it all, who exited mid-season, to just sort of the general state of the show and sort of does it feel like maybe a little repetitive? How does it get out of this hamster wheel that it's on? I have Taria Faison on. Taria is a return guest. She's another fantastic podcaster who hosts the show What Else Is Going On? And she just really knows what she's talking about here. She had some great takes and we went for almost an hour and a half. So I'm going to keep it pretty short up top here, but I really hope you enjoyed this little bonus episode, this end of season deep dive for Married to Medicine. And we'll be back tomorrow with another episode about Bravo. So we have, and we'll talk about Summer House, Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives of Bravo, as well as the trailer for Next Gen NYC, which dropped this week as well. So keep listening for my Married to Medicine season 11 end of season deep dive with Taria Faison. Check out her podcast, What Else Is Going On, wherever you get your podcasts. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you're listening to this right now. We'll be back with one more episode this week tomorrow. I want to gab. All right. Today, we're gabbing with Taria Faison, host of the What Else Is Going On podcast. We're doing our end of season deep dive for Married to Medicine season 11. Taria, thanks again for coming on. Love recording with you. Happy to have you here. I know that you binged some of these episodes for me to do this. Yes. How are you?
I am good. First of all, y'all, I have to say hello, everybody. I was so honored because I love Gibson. I have been calling him Gib, and I'm like, I love him, and I had kind of backed away from Married to Medicine. Anybody who listens to me has heard me say this. I knew what was going on, but because of him, when he messaged me, I literally had to binge, because there's certain episodes I wasn't sure about in the reunion, so I binged some stuff because I wanted to record with Gib. So I blame him and also thank him because I did miss out on some good things.
I'll take the good with the bad. Anyway, I'm honored that you did that, and I'm just happy to have you here. This is my thing. I feel like this season of Married to Medicine, I don't think it was the strongest season necessarily, but I do think the reunion was pretty damn good.
Yes. Yeah.
I think we'll get into it, but I'm curious about sort of the state of the show and sort of how it goes forward, just because they're very deep into their run. But one thing about the Married to Medicine ladies is that they know how to do a good reunion. They will deliver a great reunion. This is a three-parter in a season that maybe didn't even merit a three-parter, but I think that like I was pretty entertained by the reunion. Where did you sort of net out after watching those episodes?
I felt like I was back on board, which again,
oh, really?
Is why I blame you again.
Okay.
But
you're
Married
welcome.
To Medicine. I'm telling you because my husband used to watch it with me. Like it was my second favorite to Atlanta and then Married to Medicine. And even he, when I mentioned it, I was like, well, I'll go watch it in another room upstairs. He was like, no, you can watch it down here if you want. But
oh,
I ended up like watching it on my computer and my phone. But what is the great thing about Married to Medicine? But also I feel like Ken, I don't know if heard it, if you will, but they have the capability to go through something really bad, like extremely bad, joke about it and come out on the other side. So that is good to see, like, because they go deep with it. The only problem is it's the same things over and over again. So it's
hard.
Yes. And I don't want to say no growth from drama, but it's the same drama we want to see, just like in life. If we have a friend who is continuously going through the same thing, we're like, girl, you don't have anything else.
Right.
And I will say MVP of the season for me, I have always loved her. I got to interview her years ago. For good or bad, she seems almost like the same person, but
okay.
But Toya was the MVP for me this season.
Interesting. Okay. I want to hear more about that. For the full season, she was your MVP.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me more about that.
I feel like it almost could go into shtick territory where everything was territory. Be honest. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she was forcing them to be honest about conversations. When they were at the ranch, you thought that Jackie and Quad had kind of resolved. Yes, Jackie gave her the blank check apology, right?
Right.
But it almost was like Toya sensed, wait a minute, something is still not good here. You need to say it. You gave her a blank apology. And Dr. Jackie tried to say, you took that wrong. And she was like, no, I didn't. I took it the way you meant it, Jackie. Don't try to change it. And then it came out that Quad really, even though Quad can be dramatic, we know, and have these soliloquies, but I look at if it was me and I didn't fully have a chance to resolve because the resolve was kind of pushed because we got to move on with the show. She had these residual feelings, and the way Toya was able to get in there and be like, no, Jackie, I'm calling you out like no one else does. She did that. She did. With T and Heavenly, like even with Heavenly and Contessa, she was able to have real conversations. And the one thing about Toya, it's almost like she's able to be in the group, but be outside the group too and look at it. And
that's
say,
a good point.
Okay, this is what's going on. I'm in it. I'm not going to let what you say hurt me anymore because somebody needs to come outside of themselves and see what's going on. And I appreciated that about her.
Yeah, it's almost like she has really kind of embrace this almost audience surrogate like role where she can, as you said, she sees it from the outside. And it's interesting because when I was sort of planning out this episode, I was thinking about Toya and I was like, I love Toya, but she didn't have like the biggest storyline or personal drama this season. But I think as you pointed out, she's very much evidence of the fact that not every person needs to have some huge storyline in every single season of these shows, but they can still be very pivotal to moving things forward or calling people on their shit or whatever. And it's on this show in particular, it's because they've all known each other for so long. And so she feels. So I agree with that. I think that Toya, she proved herself. Not that she needed to prove herself at all, but she showed the role that she plays in this group.
And she was able to, on every franchise, we have the person that can introduce the conversation. And even with Married to Medicine, Dr. Heavenly was the one that she pushed the drama without having personal story, but Toya pushed conversation without having the personal story. And I've really appreciated that. And she doesn't mind being the butt of the joke. She knew that those ladies were going to talk about her having a shower for
her Birkin.
But she gave us something that was, funny and light and, you know, all of that. So I appreciated that.
I feel like Toya first kind of got in on the joke when she kept moving all the time.
Yeah.
And I feel like that when that sort of started to become a joke, she didn't seem super offended by it. She like kind of went, she took that in stride, I would say.
Yes.
For the most part. And I feel like that's when she started to do that.
Yeah. Because she's like, why not be a part? Why not be in on it instead of being the butt
that's
of
the
it? And
I
love
be.
It. Yes. And I love her and Eugene, they almost remind me, not quite as much, but like me and my husband, like the way they joke, the way they, some people may look at us and say, wow, he doesn't like her. Or she's always got something smart to say, but we joke a lot. Like that's our love. So I could see the way they are with each other. And like she said, from the outside looking in, I'll seem like the loud one, the this, the that. But behind closed doors, he's the funny one, you know, making so. And I feel like when she said on the reunion, everybody here knows Eugene has a voice. I was like, yeah, if you don't that. Know, we're just watching. I felt it. So I love them so much.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And before we get too far into it, so I want to go a little bit back to the beginning, because the beginning of this season, we added Contessa back into the mix. And I'm curious how you felt, because I actually missed her last season, because mm-hmm. I feel like we kind of alluded to this already at the beginning of this episode, but like this group is hard to break into. It's a long running group, a lot of OGs, a lot of Heavenly was added, I think, in season two. So like there is, it's a really kind of built up group that is hard to break into. And Contessa was one of those people who was able to break in, and she had been around for 4 or 5 seasons before she took that season off. And I just think that like, even if she's a little bit divisive and, you know, people don't agree with everything, I do think that like she's worth being there, and she can go toe to toe with somebody like Heavenly.
Yes.
What did you make about having her back in the mix? And what did you, you know, as you got through the season, what did you make of what she did this season?
I used to love Contessa, and then I didn't love her so much. And then I started loving her again. And I felt like, I almost feel like the thing with Contessa, she doesn't have to say it, but somehow, some way, I feel like we can tell when she might be going through something that's not being said on camera, either in action or through even with looks. So meaning, I think, first of all, I've always thought she is absolutely stunning, and her makeup is always on point. Sometimes I do want to tap her and be like, we need to discuss the wigs. But outside of that, she's stunning, right? So we saw her the last season she was on, she was doing the bodybuilding training and you can tell. And I was just wondering if that was taking the focus off of something and putting it into that. And it seemed like, so when she came back, I was like, oh, I'm glad that she's back. And you can tell it's not a desperation. It's almost the same Contessa, but a different Contessa. You can tell she enjoyed being back, but almost she was, I don't know. I felt like, I feel like something is going on, and I don't know if it's in her marriage with Dr. Scott, but sometimes I felt like in the confessionals, the laughs were a little bit louder than, I don't know, something seemed kind of off. And I wanted the women to kind of be like,
ask about
how is everything with you? But because she was a friend to the show, maybe that's why they didn't. But I felt like something was going on. I am glad that her and Heavenly were able to sit down after the explosion at the ranch. But with Contessa and the ranch, something that frustrated me so bad, and it frustrated me about Heavenly, because y'all, she's the one that made me back off of Married to Medicine. But this particular scene,
Heavenly did.
Heavenly did.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yes, she did. We were at the dinner at the ranch.
Yes.
They were all talking. It goes from, I forget what, I just watched it, what they were talking about. But then Heavenly brings up Sweet Tea and Contessa's relationship being fake. And she says, Quad said you said your relationship was fake, and which is how their fight got started. And Contessa's like, I didn't say that. Did I say that, Quad? And Heavenly's going, you most certainly did say it. You said your relationship with fake was fake. Quad ends up saying she said she was getting to know Sweet Tea. And Heavenly turned it into, and I think what happened was Quad probably said,
yeah,
girl, she said she getting to know Sweet Tea, but their relationship was fake. But Heavenly presented it as though Sweet Tea said it. And that's what sparked the entire blowout. So they're blowing out. Dr. Jackie didn't got hurt. I said, did she really get hurt? Or was that to kind of take the focus off of everything like Contessa said? But that's what sparked everything. And they never got back to that. So that's what frustrates me when it pertains to Heavenly about the argument. But it was a different Contessa. The next day, she was very much like, we can exist. And that's, it kind of surprised me. I was like, is she doing this because, again, something is really going on, or because she feels like this will help her become full time again next season? Why is she doing this? Like, she was so like, back down from it and very therapist about it. You know, there's some, when she was talking to Phaedra the next day, there's some unresolved issues. There's some this, can I have some of your food, girl? Anyway, there's some of this. So I was like frustrated, but at the same time, we do want growth, right?
Yeah.
So I was applauded her growth. And even when they went to Sweet Tea's speed dating event and Dr. Heavenly comes in and says, how are you, Contessa? And she goes, I'm fine. And my mom is too. And I was like,
but that's where Contessa's good, though.
That's where Contessa
isn't afraid to make the jab when the moment really calls for it.
Yes.
But I agree. She showed some restraint in unexpected kind of moments this season.
Even at the reunion, do you feel too?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. I think that she picked her moments at the reunion. And I think that, like, I think one thing she's learned maybe about Heavenly, you know, you take the ranch thing out of it. I think that she has learned with Heavenly that in a lot of ways, Heavenly can almost dig her own grave when it comes to being in these arguments and fights. Like, as we talked about sort of right before we started recording, Heavenly can't help herself. Yeah. And so she's going to say the thing. And the show, I guess, generally benefits from Heavenly pushing the envelope and, like, mm-hmm. sort of crossing the line sometimes. But I think that Contessa maybe has learned that. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you like back off a little bit, like Heavenly, she's going to come back around and continue to do that. And ultimately that makes Heavenly look worse than it does. Contessa just knows that. So
that's true.
And I think it's interesting you bring up sort of the looks of it all, because she definitely, she was rocking some sexier looks this season.
Yeah.
You know, like I remember in Key West, she wore, I forget what the event called for, but she showed up at the pool party, quote unquote, with the mini dress, net dress, basically. Like she was wearing like a quote unquote cover up that didn't really cover up much. And again, she can wear whatever she wants and she has an incredible figure. But it was just, I think you're right. Sometimes maybe that speaks to, because I did sense that her and Scott were sort of in a better place genuinely in their relationship. So, but again, who knows what's really going on.
And even when they went to the ranch and she's like, I can barely walk in these heels, when she was going to get her picture taken, it seemed like a different Contessa, like she was manifesting it through her clothes. I'm going to ask you real quick, what did you get from the scene? It was very brief, but like him and her sitting down in their backyard, he's telling her about Heavenly. I was trying to figure out, and then I was like, Taria, just watch the scene, but were they being polished for the camera? Like, yes, everything is okay. We're good. We're whatever.
Probably. I think probably.
Yeah.
Especially because I feel like one of the raps against Contessa is like, I mean, just like from paying attention to the social media conversation around Married to Medicine this season has been like, Contessa puts it all on Heavenly for bringing up, you know, the insinuations that Scott was like abusive at some point in their relationship. Yep. And Heavenly says, no, you, Heavenly and a lot of fans, I think, say like, no, Contessa, like you were making those insinuations during your last season on the show, like when you guys were in a really bad place in your relationship. And like, I think that people see Contessa sort of shifting all the blame to Heavenly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess, where do you land on that? Because I feel like maybe it's somewhere in the middle, but I do remember Contessa in those seasons sort of,
Remember the reunion, I forget how many years back, when they asked her about filing for divorce and she's like, I'm going to let Quad speak for me. And she let Quad speak for her at the reunion about her relationship. So I feel like I wish Contessa would say, look, I was angry in a bad space. So, yep, I put it all out because we're breaking the fourth wall now, right?
They're
doing this now. I was angry. I put it out to you. I regret putting it out to you because now I have to face the things that I've said. But I would just hope that as my friend, you wouldn't continue the conversation on social media. Own some of that because, yes, you did put it out there. And once you put it out there, you can't put the toothpaste back in.
Exactly.
At the same time, I feel like with what we do, if I came to you and say we were at a live show and I kept talking and we were doing a live show tour and I was talking about my husband, then once we stopped the tour, every single episode you did, you brought up, like on social media, you brought up my husband. I would be like, Gib as my friend.
Totally.
I put it out there, but can we just not talk about this anymore? So Contessa needs to take the power back. Yes, I said it. We were in a bad space. That's how I felt. Now I have my tail between my legs because we're working it out. Please stop talking about it.
Totally. Boom. And that's also where like, if she takes just a little bit of ownership, that's where like a scene where the one you're talking about with Scott, that was sort of like a throwaway scene, but it would land differently if she was like, because it does feel a little, there's a little bit of a pretense of, yeah. You know, and it's trying a little too hard to be like, we're in a better place now.
Yeah.
And like, I believe they're in a better place, but you can't rewrite history, basically. Yeah. You know, like roll footage, basically.
It's right there.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when she said, you know, he said, I just walk away. She was like, because you have a voided personality. And that's what she calls abusive. I was like, whoa. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, she really wants us to see him differently.
She does. She does. And like, I think in some ways, audiences can meet somebody there to see somebody differently. But also, like, audiences do not forget. And <Ooh. laughs> they don't.
No,
they don't. It always comes back around. So I guess on that same topic, it came up at the reunion where Andy was like, I feel like we're on this hamster wheel of like every season I'm sitting next to, I'm sitting across from you, Heavenly, at a reunion asking you about something you said on social media or something you said on your YouTube channel. And, you know, it is this thing of like pretty much every season, that's where a big kind of point of drama will come from, is like Heavenly ran her mouth on her social media, which she's very much entitled to do. And again, I think in some ways, if it didn't happen all the time, or if it wasn't relied on so much on the show, it actually is good for the show to have people talking shit online, basically, because it's, you know, it's good for drama on reality TV. We all know that. But if it's always happening from the same person, is it too much? What are your thoughts?
I think that it can be too much. And that's when it turns toxic. Like, because it's not like things are being leaked and we're finding out. It's a person from the cast and it's bashing. So, for example, Heavenly has this heartfelt moment with Contessa, like she always does, like she's had with every lady on the show. I'm sorry. We need to get past this. I'm not going to speak on your marriage. And then just a few days ago, y'all, on her Patreon, the clips are out there. Somebody asked her a question, like, does the super chat? And she says that when she brought up Contessa's breasts and at the reunion, there was like an awkwardness. And then this is how she said it. She said there was an awkwardness. And I wonder why they didn't bring up the Scott thing, because 2 years ago, Scott was, I'm going to say allegedly to protect me and Gib, but yes. She did not say allegedly. But she says Scott was in a hotel room with another woman and a blogger must have seen. So he called Quad to ask for her help on how not to get out. And Quad told him the first thing you need to do is get your wife. Tell her everything that's going on. That way you guys are on the same team. And I don't know the particular blogger that you're talking about, but you need to get your wife on your team. Why would you bring that up days ago? They never talked. She said out of her mouth, I was wondering why they didn't bring up Dr. Scott. And then she lets us know this information. Now, it's interesting that he called Quad and not the husband. The only thing I could think of is they were all friends. Do they feel like Quad has relationships with bloggers or has relationships with bloggers? That's the only reason I could see him calling her, like, oh, she can get stories.
She knows
out
that
there.
World. Right.
Yes, she could get stories shut down. So Quad was like, I don't know why he calls me, but I also kind of want Quad to come out now, even though this is messy, because Dr. Heavenly, like at the ranch, can put something on Quad and she'd be like, no.
Yep.
That's not what happened. But to y'all, she literally just made up with Contessa. I mean, at the reunion, yes, but why would you say this?
Well, this is what we're saying. It's like she digs her own grave. But I also think on the flip side of that, Heavenly, I think she can't help herself. But at the same time, the timing of this, which is in the week after a reunion wraps, it's like, it helps to drum up a storyline and excitement for another season of Married to Medicine. It honestly, it's giving, I don't think Contessa wants another storyline and a season about her and Scott's marriage issues, potentially, allegedly. But like, that's what it could be. You know what I mean? And then it also ropes Quad into it in terms of like, you know, there would be scenes of Quad saying yes or no if Scott, like that's also part of it. And like, again, I am all for that in some respects in terms of like, again, let's generate more like interest and storyline. But like, why does it always have to come from this one source on this one medium?
Why? And she just spews stuff. But I could see her being like, I'm the reason you're here. I'm the one that got you your job back. If I hadn't have said it on my social media.
And then she holds it over them. Right. And then it's like, she has the power and it's like, it's a hamster wheel. It is. Yeah, and I think that like, it's a bigger conversation, I guess. Is that hamster wheel, again, I love this show and this group, but like, how do you make that hamster wheel more interesting or not repetitive and make it feel like, okay, we've seen this, but just sort of copy and paste different marriage at the center of it, different, like, how do you make it, how do you keep everybody in this game, but how do you change it a little bit? Because I think that's the issue facing the show, I think, kind of more broadly. Because it's almost like they're relying on Heavenly to just be messy again. Yeah. And it's like, maybe somebody, I don't know. It's a tough thing to solve, I think, because I don't think you want to say goodbye to any of the women. But also, because like, I think if you lose any of them, then it starts to not feel like Married to Medicine. So that's the hard, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know.
That's it. Because I was...
Do you disagree? Because
I kind of
hear your thoughts.
So until you said it doesn't feel like Married to Medicine, that's the first time I thought about it. That's the first time I thought about it in those terms. Because in my mind, I felt like in order to maybe move forward with fresh story, listen, I will admit
who do you take out?
That she has never been a fave of mine. I get why Bravo likes her on there because she, in quotes, legitimizes the medicine, even though they're doctors.
Who is it? I want to know who it is.
Dr. Jackie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like she can go. We're not getting, like, I would like to hear about the boys that her and Curtis have adopted. They have adopted sons. Like, why aren't we hearing about that? Why aren't we going to the Dominican Republic and seeing what he's actually doing over there instead of him flying back in? It was interesting. I feel like Curtis was involved in this season more than he's been since the beginning.
I agree. And actually, it's funny you said that because I have something else written down. We talked about Toya already, but towards the end of the season, Toya was on Watch What Happens Live. And there was this sort of throwaway moment. And I don't know how many, I think it sort of made the rounds, but there was this throwaway moment where they were talking about Curtis. And I think it was a fan question. And she was like, no, he's been handsy with me. Mm-hmm. And in multiple times in the past. And I remember when that clip came out and I was like, talk about a storyline on a platter.
Right there.
Because like, I agree. Dr. Jackie has been sort of this figurehead on this show, other than like getting them all together for like, you know,
the lemon squeeze
moment, right? The lemon squeeze and the kumbaya situation. Like, because Curtis has been on the back burner since that one season where they almost split up.
Yeah.
And you're right. He felt a little bit more front burner this season. And then the Toya thing, I was like, that gives Toya, that sort of puts Toya in the Heavenly role of like stirring shit up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then it also drags Jackie back into the mix because I do think that sometimes when you're on these shows for a long time, you can sit out for a little bit. Like you can be, again, play a different role like Toya has.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, you have to get back into it. Like you can't skate by. Like I think Jackie skated by for a while.
Yeah.
And like, I agree she legitimizes the show and I like her as a person, but I you need to give us more. And I'm sort of like, maybe if you're not going to do it voluntarily.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know. I think the Toya comment, it gives them another excuse to examine the marriage. And again, I'm not trying to like tear anybody down, but like,
what's going on here?
That was said publicly.
Yeah. And the picture. Bravo. Well, not the picture, but the flashback of him with his hand around Heavenly's waist.
Yep. Yep.
My husband, and I can't see my other girlfriend's husband doing that ever.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Like we greet each other with the church hug.
You know? There we go. it makes you think, Taria. It really does.
Yeah. It made me immediately think to him pulling her on his lap. Mm. And I don't mean to be like, but let's be clear. A man, your parts are there. If somebody is plopping on your, or something is touching it, you know, It just was so inappropriate. And
it's
so
intimate. There's an
intimacy there. So, but I like how you said, if you're not going to do it voluntarily, guess what?
Yeah. And so you think that, let's say they don't follow that thread. You're okay. Like, you don't need Dr. Jackie.
Dr. Jackie could be taken out and the spot could be given to someone who maybe like Dr. Mimi, because I feel like we didn't see a lot of Dr. Mimi, but I saw something that kind of peaked like initially on the beach when they were away. It was, don't let them come in between your marriage. Don't let them tear down your marriage, T. And then when Toya and her go to see Sweet T, she was singing a totally different tune. Mm. She was siding with the women. And I said, oh, she wants to be on the show and she's siding with the majority. Now, one could say, well, we don't want somebody on the show just being a puppet. I feel like there's something in there because she wants to be on the show that let's spotlight that. Let's get her in the mix because they're backing her or they're loving Dr. Mimi now. But baby, you will become like will put that telescope on you. They'll put the stethoscope on you.
1,000%. No, I agree. And I interviewed her this season for like just a quick, like literally like a 12-minute
yes,
thing.
Yes, you did. Yes.
I like her. I think she seems promising. But in the interview setting, she was like so hesitant to like lean in either direction. Like she wasn't really saying, she was saying a lot of words without saying much. You know what I mean? I think that's pretty common, I think, for like a newer person to like sort of not commit fully to either direction. Yeah. But I do think there's something in there, like you said, and this group isn't gonna put up with that. But I think keep her in there and see how she handles the heat, what side she sort of gravitates toward more now. Like I agree. I think there's something in there. And again, it's hard for the show to find people that really work, but they clearly like her. And yeah. I think her husband is pretty dynamic too. So like,
let's see.
Going off the sort of heavenly reunion talk, there was this whole topic of like the husband's talking about, you know, if your wife is going to talk shit about me, if they're going to say something inflammatory about me, am I allowed to step in and defend myself, basically? Am I allowed to get into it? What do you think of that? It's something that comes up a lot in these shows that have the female cast members with the husbands around, especially in this show where they're so around. It also comes up in some of the co-ed shows on Bravo where it's like there are men and women on the cast together.
Yep.
And some of the men get criticized for arguing with women, but it's like, it's tough because those are their castmates and these are conflict-driven shows. So what do you think of that whole topic?
I agree 1,000% with Cecil when he said, I'm not for your wife being able to say whatever she wants to a man and then he has to approach the husband. Let's be clear, we're all adults. So if me, you, and four other people are out somewhere and we're friends and we get into an argument, my husband, the only way he would step in is if we're not getting to a resolution and I'm home and I'm hurt and I can't verbalize my feelings. He may call you and be like, especially if y'all are friends, like she really is trying to get to. And that would be like a slim chance to none. You know what I mean? So I say that to say me and you would be able to go back and forth. I don't expect you to have an issue with me and then go to my husband who has nothing to do with it. So when King said, if she say something to you, you say something to me. And then he's like, well, she shouldn't be saying anything to me. And King's like, she can say whatever she wants. Flag on the play. That is not cool. Mm. I do not agree with that. Again, we are all adults. We are all on the show. And even though the men may not get paid, Married to Medicine is different from a lot of the Housewives franchise. The husbands, I mean, they got a part at the reunion. You know what I mean?
They're quasi-cast members. Yeah.
Yes. So I feel like if Cecil has an issue with Quad, they should be able to talk. The only reason I would say that maybe Quad and Dr. G can't is because it becomes explosive. Mm-hmm. But then dead the conversation. We don't need their spouses to get involved because their spouses weren't in the marriage. And truth be told, King can only go by what Quad said. And what he saw, what Dr. G admitted to her, and Sweet T can only go by, is only going by what Greg said. She's not going to want to believe what Quad said until it happens to her, if it happens to her. So I feel like, no, the husband's respectfully, because if it starts yelling, and yeah, then it's like, nah, that's it's different. Over. But yeah, they can say stuff to each other. I hate this whole, you know, I feel like people give Dr. Damon so much credit for he's just this guy and his little soft, hey, buddy. I think deep down, he is like a heavenly and he is with the it's. He's just not showing it on TV. I do not buy this Dr. Daddy. The way he would not budge and would not allow himself to step outside of himself and see that your wife calling this man a pedophile would probably could affect his practice more so than him saying he doesn't know if you cheat. And he just couldn't let that go. And again, see outside of him. You're a coward. Because you saw that Dr. Heavenly released the text messages. So Dr. Greg kind of lied on that. So call him out for that, but still be able to see outside of yourself. So I do think this whole old school, you don't talk to the wife, you talk to me. No, I don't agree. We are all adults.
I completely agree, especially because it's like these people know each other. It's not like they're all, like for the most part, they have been around each other for a decade or more. And so it's like some of them have like brother-sister dynamics, honestly,
Cecil
between the couple.
Yeah, Quad. Oh my God,
100%. And it's like there's a certain level that it, I think is acceptable, obviously. But like otherwise, it's just this weird blockage where you can always argue like, oh, no, men aren't supposed to approach the like, no, that's again, what year is it? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
and because then we argue on the other side. We're not just helpless women. We can defend. So it's like,
yeah.
Like, at what point are we? Yeah, I really hated that argument. What do you think of King?
So I actually, that was Quad and King and all that is up next. Oh. So let's just talk about it.
I'm sorry. I'm asking.
No. I like this. I don't like some of his old school comments. And like he clearly has some thoughts on sort of the gender dynamics of their relationship. Yeah. And so I don't like that about him. He seems like generally a good guy, though, I think. And I like that Quad is able to push back on him.
Yes.
Like there's that moment at their house when they're like in the hot tub or the pool and they're talking about it. And like, I feel like Quad maybe earlier in her relationship with Dr. G wouldn't have pushed back in that way, perhaps. And
same.
I think that shows a lot of growth in her. And I think that like it shows that even though, again, he has these views that maybe give me pause, honestly, for their relationship, he's at least willing to like hear her, and they're still together and they seem to have a pretty strong relationship. So I'm like, maybe she's pushing him to be more less kind of
like old school thinking.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It's complicated, but I generally like they seem pretty happy to me. And again, I like that she's able to push back on him. What do you think?
I think the same thing. And that's a good point that you brought up because it instantly took me back to Quad and Dr. G and how she would sometimes just be quiet and not push back on him a lot. And he would say some of the most embarrassing things, like when he talked about him.
He's
keeping
an embarrassing
her,
guy.
Yes. Like, I kept you getting a wax. And it's like, whoa, like we didn't need to hear like that. So, and she would just kind of fall back. Mm-hmm. I am glad that she is. It seems like to me she's at a point where she's like, I know what I want. This is what I want. And if we're not on the same page, then cool. Or, okay, we can have a conversation and maybe compromise, but I'm not going to give up the thing that I've worked for. I worked really hard for this. So I appreciate that. And they do seem like they're very happy. They had all these rumors online. I just hope he's not one of those guys that, you know what, I was going to say that doesn't want to be on TV, but guess what? It's okay if they enjoy being on TV as well. Cause sometimes the guys get a bad rap, but don't, it's about Quad. Like it's about y'all.
No, totally. It's her show. I totally agree. Like there's a fine line, honestly, because when you're a reality star, like they are, and you're trying to find a new partner, basically it's like, you have to find somebody who is like comfortable enough to do this. Because honestly, behind the scenes is like, If you start dating somebody who can't film or won't film, like that's a huge problem for these people. And I think that like, maybe he likes it a lot. Maybe he likes being on the show. And I think there's a fine line between like liking it too much, you know? But I think that like, I still think that like Quad's able to shine around him. And I think that he, generally speaking, seems to like celebrate her and like kind of treat her like a queen in a lot of ways. And like, again, some of the old school thoughts are a little bit like, all right, but she clearly feels comfortable enough pushing back on that and like maintaining her, like she could have jumped into this relationship and like taken again some of that because she was so, because she wanted it so badly.
Yep.
And I think that she's doing it in her way. And I think he's clearly down for the ride. And I think I'm generally into it.
Me too. Yeah. And when you talked about the generals, it made me think back to him saying, well, the man. And I'm like, oh, he's taking that last name King seriously. You know,
he is. Know, like, and he totally is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He definitely is. But I also think that, like, you know what? When you say that kind of stuff on TV, like, you know that you're going to hear it. And maybe that's enough to change somebody.
I was going to say, if you don't, the one thing I can say that I hope that a lot of these people get out of it is it becomes a mirror. And I think in any relationship, even if we had a camera following us, not on TV, but we had to sit down and watch it back, it might be like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, I get what you're saying when you say I do X, Y, and Z. So hopefully, it'll rethink everything.
I think that's like the most, probably the biggest positive of being on reality TV is that mirror. So I hope he watched that scene and was like,
I came across a little strong.
I hope so.
I hope he didn't beat on his chest. Yeah.
Oh God. Tria. Please.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts, gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit the upsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm a Quad guy, to be honest. Like I've always gravitated towards Quad. I just think that she has this like very watchable star quality to her. Like even though she's not, she can be a frustrating person, but I generally really like Quad. And I really loved having her back in the show this season in a way that felt like, I mean, after they tried to banish her last year, basically, like she felt more ingrained this year. I think a lot of it had to do with her reunion performance last year, which I thought was really, really good. And I can't picture the show without her. Like, I didn't think that last season was great when she had such a diminished role. Mm-hmm. What did you make of having her just generally more in the mix and like less sort of outside of it this year?
It felt like it was old times, like when you reunite with a friend. And I love her and Toya's dynamic this year.
Me too.
There was a lightness to it and there was like a banter to it that I've really loved. And I think there was more of an openness and not the yelling. Again, when Toya forced the conversation with Quad, like, and with Jackie, like, and other conversations she had with her, I was like, I really like this between them, because and I'm sure you've seen the conversation, there have been so many conversations on social media saying they think that Toya is jealous of Quad's life because she has freedom. She can pick up and go. I don't necessarily get that. I get there just sometimes there are people you just, for whatever reason, the personalities just clash. And I want them to have, it doesn't have to be a deep relationship. I want them when they are together to be fun and light and funny, but also able to go deep with each other without getting offended so easily and carrying it. And I feel like that's where she was with Toya. I was always, when it was Quad and Mariah, I was always a Mariah person. Mm-hmm. And then I never really, when Mariah left, I never really cared for Quad. I was always a Toya person. People would probably be like, say what you want, because I know there's a lot of, Toya can be polarizing too.
She can be. And so, they kind of all can, to be honest.
You know what? You're so right. They can, but I feel like there's something about Toya that I identify with. And it could be because our birthdays are days apart. Who knows? But I feel like, there's certain things I see in her that I try to suppress in myself. So I'm like,
that's so funny.
Don't do that. But I enjoyed Quad. Even the times when it was frustrating, I still enjoyed her. In the back of my mind, there was a part of me that was like, you know, you watch these shows, you want them to be all real. So like that, the relationship outside of work and the show did improve with some of the ladies. I really hope that, because when she was at the ranch and she was like, this is to Dr. Heavenly, this has been 10 years. I would hope that that would mean something to you. I'm like, I really want her to believe that. Like, I really
know.
You believe that and it not be about a check.
Yeah. And that's that I think is especially after last season, what can be frustrating about Quad is like, just hang out with them a couple times off camera. Yeah. Like, it's, it really can't be that hard. And like, that would win her so much goodwill with a lot of this group. And okay, we're going to loop back to TNG, but now we're on this topic.
I like a crab shack, TNG.
You know, I feel like almost every Married to Medicine reunion has like a behind the scenes backstage moment. And now that we're on the topic of sort of like Quad not being around, her and Simone had this huge blow up between parts 2 and 3 on this reunion. And maybe nothing has, but I was like, did something happen that we don't know about between them? Because I'm not trying to like, you know, tell somebody how they should feel, but like Simone's emotion around this was so intense to the point where I was like, is it really just about the fact that Quad doesn't really hang out with you off camera?
Right.
Or is it really about the sister circle thing? The fact that you didn't have her on sister circle like years ago? Like it can't, not that it can't be that, but it, if it's that, it doesn't add up to me.
No, and I almost feel like, I mean, did the lady flirt with your man? Like, because it's an aggression.
It feels big. It's, it's a lot.
She has around it. And I'm like, I almost feel like, is it, you know, when Bethany said it's not about, it's basically the fights are, a lot of the fights are about the show.
Yeah.
So I'm like, and you know how they would say Quad would show up late, Quad would hold up production. And I wonder if Simone feels like Quad is getting this. They used to always refer to her before Sweet Tea, the baby, the youngest.
Right.
So does she feel like Quad is getting the attention and allowances are made for Quad and everybody else? Yes, that's exact kid gloves. Everybody else just ignores it and they may complain a little, but we all go along with Quad and we baby Quad because she always, remember when she called her little girl and all of this stuff. So I'm like, is that the emotion around it? Like, does it, I mean, does it remind you of somebody younger in your family that got kicked? Like, it has to be something as to why everything is such a moment with Quad. And I was thinking too, like, it's always a back and forth. We thought they reconciled. Why did we go into this season?
Exactly.
And there was an issue. What happened? Is she upset? Does Quad remind her a little bit, because Cecil was the one that reached out and invited her to the party at the beginning of season. Does his relationship with her remind you of his with Tammy, his friend Tammy? And that was such a big issue.
Oh my God, Tammy.
Like, what is it? Do you feel like, you know, when I'm working, since she doesn't want to hang outside of work, at work, everything's about her. We got to cater to her. She's going to be late. Then when I get home, I have my husband who says that's his little sister and he's constantly trying to insert her. Like, I need her to just come out and say it, because it's not like Simone to not say it. But then I think about Mariah saying that Simone was like the producer's pet and when she sat down with Carlos King, because, you know, Mariah said Simone came to her and said, listen, production wants me to be the one to put the nail in your coffin. But I don't know if I can do it. And then Quad's interview with Carlos King, and she basically was like, Simone is the puppeteer pretty much. So is the puppeteer not working on Quad? Does she want to really get rid of Quad? And it's not like, what is it?
Especially because the way that Simone cares, here's the thing. I feel like Quad has a bigger bone to carry in this thing, because she was the one that was, I mean, Simone came to her and tried to kick her out and kicked her off the Napa trip. Which, by the way, I do not believe that Simone was not speaking for the other women.
Come on.
They said on the reunion that they didn't know that Simone was going to say that, or like Simone wasn't speaking for them. I'm sorry. They met before that conversation.
Yes.
That was bullshit to me. But if Simone's the producer's pet, if I'm Quad, I feel like I have more to be mad about in this situation.
Yeah.
And especially because not only did you try to kick me off the show, but you tried to replace me with my abusive ex's new woman. And now you're best friends with her. And it's like this,
Also, it's like, I think if this is supposed to be real life, yes, I know we want these ladies to get to move on. They're forced to
have
conflict resolution and move on. But you tried to embarrass me on TV. Like, I would even, like, you tried to embarrass me. And let's not act like Quad doesn't have an image that she wants to. A lot of the ladies do. Most of them do. But you tried to, except I feel like Toya is just shameless, which works good in her favor sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, girl. But you tried to embarrass me on TV. You could have cost me my job, my good paying job.
That was the goal.
Yeah, that was the goal. So, like, to tell me you don't want me here. So I'm trying to get past that. And for you to have a issue with me, if I'm if I'm Quad to Simone, the way it came, that F you from Quad, it like came from her belly in that room. I felt like, yeah. And she's always normally like, what's the issue? Okay, I need to ask you this.
Yeah.
Is it comparable or is one deeper than the other? Last season, at the reunion, Simone brings up in a roundabout way the incident. Mm-hmm. This year at the reunion, Quad says, who was out there helping you look for your father? And Simone is like, don't you bring up my father. You only did that because the cameras were there. Basically, Simone reached out when the cameras weren't there. Do you think they're equal?
Well, Simone brought it up first.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the Quad thing was off camera what Simone brought up.
Boom. That's where I was going.
Right? Yeah. Like, I don't think she brought it up first and it wasn't already on TV.
Nope.
And so, yeah, I don't think they're comparable. Obviously, that's if you're Simone, you're new here. Yeah. Father, dad.
Yes.
Like, that's going to hit you, of course. But I don't think those are comparable things. I mean, I they're similar, but to me, they're different levels. They're different levels to me. Yeah, that is it's like they can, I don't know. That is a really, it's clearly a very loaded thing. And
yeah, once again, it speaks to the women and good or bad, because we don't know if they're holding stuff, but the way that was so exposed, I thought they were going to physically fist fight. Like, I thought it's really going to come to this. The way they were able to get back on that stage, talk about it, and then we're laughing.
I know.
There is a resilience to them that makes you want to be a part of a group like that.
100%.
Not quite 100%. Dramatic.
Like, they move on with the best of them. Do I believe that Simone and Quad are good? No.
You need
But they were able to do their jobs and go forward. And that speaks to them being pros and really good at this. But yeah, that was just a really wild moment. And again, like, Quad's an OG of the show. And she might not be, quote unquote, married to medicine anymore. But at this point, I'm like, that is, to me, that is like saying, oh, this person's not a housewife because they're not married. It's like, I think that personally, I think that like saying that Quad shouldn't be on the show because she's not married to medicine anymore, that's to me BS. And like, personally, and I just think that like, she's an OG of the show, and to bring G back after everything that went down and to act like she should just take it and just because the men are friends with G.
Yeah.
It's not, the men, as we said, are basically cast members, but they're not the cast members.
No.
And so I just feel like there's this like implication that Quad should just like take it on the chin and like coexist with G. When like, I think last season, Quad was pretty damn respectful and like took it pretty well. Like, yeah, she showed up to the bachelorette party, but that was like an in jest, like funny for reality TV cameo.
Yes.
Like that was like not that serious. And to be fair, T was a pretty good sport about that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think so too.
But I think that at a certain point, they were fools not to think that Quad was at some point going to like erupt and let her real feelings be known about having to be on a show with Dr. G and Sweet T. And it's like, they're basically dangling in her face. And it's like, okay, now that she has a man around, that's when G can't handle it. And he's saying that, he's saying that she's dangling on his face. And it's like, okay, well, what do you think's been going on for the past year and a half in Quad's perspective?
Yep. You know? And also, when you're Quad, let's think about this. You tried to embarrass me and make me lose my job.
Mm-hmm.
I had to eat it because I need this job. And I think with Quad, if it were me, there is a part of Quad, because we know there is a bit of ego involved in all of them.
Of course.
When Quad said, "You're sitting here because of me," I thought back to Dr. Heavenly spilling it all. We know that Dr. Heavenly and Jackie were the ones that recruited Sweet Tea. Mm-hmm. Sweet Tea would go to the fundraiser event. Dr. Jackie's, would see them on the golf course. And then, of course, Dr. Jackie's 50 Shades of Pink. And they were asking her to do the show. Both of the ladies have confirmed this. She says yes, right? Dr. Heavenly said, I don't know if you heard, Dr. Heavenly literally said out of her mouth, "I heard it. I told T, think of it as you helping another Black woman keep her job." Yes.
Wow.
So Heavenly phrased it to T as, "You'll be help if Quad doesn't have you guys on as a story, she won't be asked back," which is why she didn't come back until a little bit during filming last year. Heavenly has said this multiple times. So now you have Quad having to look at this woman mm-hmm. and probably feel like, "I'm an OG and the network wants to disrespect me. They probably knew I was going to be asked to be sent home. And now I got to sit here and take it. Okay, I bet I'm going to secure my next season. I'm going to bring my man on. And now guess what? I have a story. You don't need to be here anymore." And I think some of her anger is a bit misdirected. I think the person she should really have an issue with would be Heavenly and Jackie, but that's her friends. And there's a part of her that understands why they did what they did to help me get my job.
Yeah.
And now you can go, you can leave.
No, it's the way, when you put it that way, it's like, it's so layered. It really is. And like
Heavenly kept putting that out there.
Yeah.
So that's why there's a part of me that feels bad for Sweet Tea, because
me too.
The text messages that Sweet Tea has shown, like last year, and people are saying Sweet Tea had to be crazy to think she could come in and take these women's friends. I don't think she thought she was going to take their friends, but they pursued her more than once. So she's thinking, "Oh, they're at least going to welcome me. They're telling me I need to help this other Black woman save her job," right? They're coming mm-hmm. from a woman's empowerment that stand together and all of these different things. I get on here and it's uno reverse. Quad has secured her spot. We need to get you out of here now. And so I understand why she pops off. Let's be clear. They say she erupts. She's a mirror reflection of Heavenly in her eruptions. She's just younger. So they try to sun her.
Yeah.
They always talk about her age and all of that. And they're talking about her husband and she erupts. Can she kind of take a beat? Sure, she probably should. But again, she is from a different... I said Sweet Tea grew up probably fist fighting on dirt roads, okay, in the country.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I feel like that's why a part of me feels for her, because now it's got real for her. Like, oh, girl, they need you.
She was a sacrificial lamb.
Oh, and Heavenly admitted, I'm sorry, on her show a couple of weeks ago, I believe, she said Sweet Tea was a pawn, because that part is... She said it, so...
You know what? Simone is doubling down on the Sweet Tea support by being on her like cooking show, whatever that was. So maybe that's her ticket to staying on the show is via Simone.
Okay. So watching that, do you think because in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, being in that environment, Sweet Tea kept saying, "I didn't watch the show. I didn't want to be on TV." Did she get a taste of it and now want to be on the show? Do you think she wants to stay on the show based on you watching that?
I think she wants to stay on the show.
Me too.
Me too.
Yep. Me too.
I
do. And you know, she said that Dr. Mimi's not her real friend. They're not really friends. So who's she going to have?
Simone.
That's right. Oh, yeah, you did. That's right.
Simone. Ooh. Which, like,
well, there's our mess, right?
Which, like, is that what Simone wants to do? Like, is that the hill that Simone wants to die on?
Right.
I mean.
Ooh, that's.
Yeah. That's a toughie. That's a toughie. And it's almost like, I wish we could get Sweet Tea and just say goodbye to Dr. G. That's essentially what it's hard for me. Like, he's hard to watch, in my opinion. And I think that,
I want him to do, it's almost like
there's
I want him to do better. Yeah.
Yeah.
And has he, even when it came out, what he did to Quad, I don't remember. Did he actually apologize to her, or did he just say, "You pulled a knife out on me"?
Well, yeah, I feel like that's what it was, because they had that sit down at that reunion with Andy, just them two, and they basically both accused one another of being abusive in some form. Yeah. That's what they both. So I feel like from what I remember, he just sort of hit back with his own allegations, basically.
Yeah.
It's prickly.
The stuff that we saw.
I know.
Him laying on the ground, foaming at the mouth at their counseling session. Remember that?
Oh, my God.
And he sped off.
Remember his hot, this season, his hot mic moment with T. I was like, this is like deja vu a little bit.
And you know what's interesting? And I should have sent it to you. Sweet T had Dr. Contessa on a couple weeks ago, her YouTube. I will say it was very good. And you got to learn a bit more about Sweet T and Dr. Contessa, and they actually do have a very similar background, which was we got a lot of medicine.
Military. And that, yeah, right.
Contessa was almost like, I'm not defending, but I'm defending. I'm not defending, but let me explain this moment to you guys and what you pick up on. Basically saying, you don't have to think of him as abusive. There's camera crews in the home. He would never do anything. And I was kind of like, that's exactly what I said.
Well, then maybe it is kind of, you take that left couch, you take Toya and put her on the couch with Heavenly Jackie Quad, and then you have Simone, Contessa, and Sweet Tea. Maybe they're, because Contessa was kind of vacillating between Quad and Tea this season. She was kind of play both sides, and maybe does it benefit her to be on the other side of things? I don't know. Interesting. I don't know. Do you want Sweet Tea and G on the show next season? Do you think they should be around?
For her, as much as I feel for her, and I will say I do like Sweet Tea.
I don't mind her too. I really
don't. For her mental health and mine. Yeah, yes, her. For her mental health and mine, she may need to go because there are times when I get upset for her and want her to articulate things in a certain way. But also you can't tell somebody how to react. And I think if it wasn't for all the off-camera shenanigans, because you're bringing all these off-camera feelings on camera and you're very valid in your points in doing so. Like Heavenly says, you said I was not respected in the medical community. That's why I talked about your husband. But if you start from the beginning, Heavenly started with her first, Sweet Tea response the same way. And it's just, I'm tired of the back and forth.
It's interesting because Sweet Tea is kind of trying to play Heavenly's game with her own YouTube.
Yes.
And I think in some ways they kind of, they're a little different, but they're kind of cut from the same cloth in some respects. And so it's interesting. I don't know. I don't know.
I think it would be best for her if she's trying to have a baby and she's having these issues mentally. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's a good spot for her to be.
Focus on what really matters, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Last thing about T before we go to this last major topic that I think we have to talk about. At the very beginning of part three of the reunion, when Jackie is pulling Simone into the other room and T like is trying to get in it, and Jackie's like, stop, let me talk with Simone, get out of here. Like that was... Did you catch that? Like that.
I was going to bring that up to you when we were talking.
That was such an intense. Like that. That was like some sort of facade was ripped off, and I was like, "Whoa!" I was like, "I don't know." It caught me off guard a little bit.
Almost like a mother talking to her child, or like you're not significant enough. And Sweet Tea, all Sweet Tea was trying to say was, "I think." And Jackie immediately, get out of here. No, we don't want. I need a moment. And Sweet Tea was like, okay, and just walked out. I was like,
yeah, that was wild.
That shows you what they think of her, because I do not believe if that was Heavenly, if that was even Toya, and you know, Toya and Jackie, they barely speak.
Yeah.
I do not believe that same reaction would have come from, it's almost like they look at her with disdain and it's like, whoa. Yeah. That's so funny you brought that up, because I meant to bring that up to you earlier when we were talking about their fight. Yeah.
That was wild.
I was like,
it was kind of blink and you miss it, but it was, that was real. That was real.
Intent, like everything back there. And I thought Jackie was going to start crying. Okay. Do you believe Jackie when she cried? Like, that's a different side of her. And I wonder if these tears are really happening, what it is about these situations that makes her like cry. Like, she literally like is like, mm-hmm. I'm done. Like, I don't know. It just, that scene was insane.
And that's where it's like, you know, we're talking about the show and sort of what does it look like going forward. But that's where it's like, those moments like that can only happen if you have this really built in, lived in dynamic. And it's hard. It's really hard to like want the show to evolve. But also you can't recreate this. You can't. Yeah. And that's sort of the pickle that the show is in right now, I think, and has been maybe for the past year or two. And last thing, I think the last major topic for us to talk about, Tria, is the Phaedra of it all, because there was sort of this experiment that they had starting last season by putting Phaedra in, you know, and like Phaedra, I think that, again, not to give Phaedra too much credit, but I do think that adding Phaedra into the mix in the show, she is like, in the reality TV world, I would say, yes. Phaedra Parks is like a household recognizable name in this, in this specific realm of pop culture. And by injecting her into the show, I think it should have felt like a jolt. And I think initially it sort of did, but it faded pretty quickly.
Very quickly. And I
and it's like it was happening around this time when like Phaedra was like really popping off on The Traitors, and she was on Dancing with the Stars, and like she had all these moments where like she was like really everywhere. And
yes.
And the one place it wasn't working was Married to Medicine. Yeah. And it was so, I guess, like on the surface, it was surprising, I guess. But then when you really think about it, maybe it wasn't, because it's almost like she wanted it both ways. Like she wanted the ticket to being back on Bravo in a bigger way and to really be part of the conversation, but she didn't want to show much of her life. And she never really did show much of her life on the show, to be honest. She never really clocked in. I think the minute that she turned on Quad was when she really lost any sort of chance, I think, at really succeeding on this show. And obviously we know this season, not to speak too much, but this season we knew from the get-go, to be honest, that Phaedra was shitting on the show. We knew that she had started filming with Atlanta, so like she was kind of checked out halfway through. We knew that was going to happen. The trailer even teased her like leaving at some point on the trip, and then it sort of blew up into this sort of, it's been this back and forth war of words between her and the cast. Where have you landed on the Phaedra as a Phaedra of it all as it relates to Married to Medicine? Because it's been a ride.
I feel like you literally perfectly packaged when I'm thinking of Phaedra and Married to Medicine and seeing the different scenes and the end, the difference from last season to this season, her going from, if I was in this group, maybe my marriage would have worked, to they're trash. You know, by the way, when they played that scene, I could watch that over and over because their faces were like,
I mean, that was good TV. Yeah, when she called at one point, she called them demonic bitches from hell that are jealous and hateful. Like, listen, to be honest, not to celebrate like, you know, women against women, but that's the Phaedra that I kind of wanted to see more of. That was that not her being really like.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but...
You know what I mean? Like, that's when Phaedra has these, the turns of phrases and really letting it fly. Yes. Like, that's Phaedra. Like, that's the Phaedra on who blossomed on Atlanta, because she just kind of let it fly and, like, had these, like...
Yes.
She never showed that on this show until
at
then.
All. And I wished... I didn't mind her going where she did.
Right.
However, I wish she would have done it in there. I wish she would have sat there and said it to them in their faces. Mm-hmm. You know, I really wish she had said what she had to say, because Phaedra typically did that on The Housewives. It was all in the confessionals and not always in their face, except for when she almost swung that purse on Kenya. I will never, reality TV, will never be the same. Well, no, I'm going to take that back. Hopefully, get back to
hopefully.
That.
It
was
kind of
swinging purses. But like you said, I think in the beginning, because you know how she talked about she basically helped the show. And the ladies were like, how did you help us? I do think in the beginning, people were excited to see her on TV. So there was a ratings increase because people wanted to see her. But it wasn't sustainable because it was the same Phaedra that we kind of started getting in The Housewives. At first, you think she's cute and funny and saying all these things and confessionals. And then the way she left, part of that heinous rumor, it's like, oh, and mm-hmm. how she just sat there. It's like, oh, this is the Phaedra. I will say, Phaedra's best moment of this season was when Heavenly was trying to fight Contessa and her boobs were coming out. And Phaedra's side commentary was, she was like, girl, your nipples are just like, to me, I went back and watched that probably like 4 or 5 times. I just kept rewinding it back because it was so good. But
yeah,
the way she left too, it was kind of iconic in a way as far as her leaving and going on a private jet back. And
I agree.
She kept her word. And that, see, this was another issue I had with Phaedra. It was filmed last year. Phaedra kept her word. I will say it's a very good cause that Jackie was raising money for. And let me say, that's another thing. Phaedra in her confessional said, I'm trying to sweep up Jackie's mess because of the comment she made last year about Black women and pregnant women and mm-hmm. not really needing to be off. I wish Phaedra had said that to her.
Exactly.
Force Jackie to say something back to you.
Exactly. And why do you think she didn't? Like, was she trying to be like too, because she was checked out? Or was it because she was trying to be a little too, like, prim and proper classy on this show? Like, what?
I feel like because Phaedra doesn't want us to see the real her. She wants to portray a certain image. She doesn't want to have the image of arguing back and forth, calling you out of your name, going to the depths of hell. I think she wants to be seen as this.
I wish somebody would tell her that that's what she's really good at, though. Like, she's like, that's really... And I guess when you think about it, on The Traitor, she had so many moments where she did that so fucking well, but yeah. She could do it under the guise of I'm playing a game and I am tapped yeah. being a traitor. So it is not. But that to yeah. me is that was her. And that's in a complimentary way, honestly, because I think that's a skill to be able to rattle off yeah. those things so quickly. And like she's quick on her feet with her words in a lot of ways. And like,
yeah, she is.
You're right.
I think she's.
I want to see it in the moment.
Yeah, and she's quick on her feet like that, but I think long-term conflict, mm-hmm. I feel like there's a side to her that can be gutter that she just doesn't want us to see because she is this Southern girl. She wrote a book, Southern. Yeah. Do you know, side note, this is so random. So I used to go to, I'm from Jersey, so I did not know about the different churches and things. So we moved here and went and used to go to Jamal's church at Empowerment Temple. And do you know, Phaedra was one of the guests there to promote her book, The Southern Belle. Her and Nene. Nene came to speak at a men's event. I don't even, but anyway, yeah. So my worlds collide.
Wow.
Yeah,
that is like a Mad Libs. Like, wow. I love that.
so she wants to present this image, and Candy has said it before, as this Southern Belle. Sometimes when she's provoked, she'll go there. Now she's turned into a city girl with the blonde hair, the clothes and all that. But I think she still tries to maintain
yeah.
an image. I mean, think about it. Whenever they ask her a question, it is very, child, listen. Well, do you mind if Apollo comes on the trip? Child, you know, well, I know Apollo's move. So, child, girl, surprise me. Can we get an answer?
Right.
You know?
And maybe, and this is where it's like, maybe the Married to Medicine women were never going to pull that out of her.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, I do think the Atlanta women, like, it's hard to imagine Portia and Cynthia and I guess not Kenya being able to pull that out of her in some ways. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yes.
It's a more familiar territory for her. And
yes.
ultimately, I'm glad that she found her way back to Atlanta for the sake of that show, honestly. And I hope that that is finally the answer where it's like, we're not just getting surface from Phaedra, because I do think that, like, I think the Married to Medicine women can hold each other's feet to the fire, but Phaedra, for some reason, it just didn't work on her.
Yeah.
And I think the Atlanta women hopefully can do that to Phaedra.
They're not going to go for it. Phaedra was able to shut the Married to Medicine women down, even when Toya was asking those questions. And even in the confessionals, when they would ask, oh my gosh, they asked Phaedra, did you know something about, oh, did you know that Sheck would be at Apollo's house? I'm not going to answer that question.
But it's like, why is she allowed to not answer that question?
Yes. Why is she allowed? Exactly.
Yeah, why is she allowed to not answer that question?
We saw how quick her attitude changed from these women could have saved my marriage and the Real Housewives of Atlanta is a sinking ship to now you're back on Atlanta and you're dogging out marriage. So we know that was just your spring. Mm-hmm. You knew that once you got back on a show with Bravo, because remember, she did Dubai, some scenes in Dubai. Yeah. And she's on Traitors and now she's back in.
And Girls Trip. She did Girls Trip
as well. That's right. She did Girls Trip and she didn't give us a lot there either.
No, she had her good, sort of one-liners to
Christian
the side.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, now's the time. You can't be on Housewives and not show your life. You can't.
Yeah.
That's part of the game. So.
Well, and that was another thing too with Married to Medicine. I don't want them to go down this road of thinking they have to perform tricks. Having Apollo come on because he wants to film was so, when we know Phaedra, he has to pick his kids up outside. He's not even allowed in her home.
It was like, so inauthentic. That,
yeah.
That's, yeah, I totally agree. And that's part of what they have to get back to for the show, I think. That's when that's actually not when they're at their best, I don't think.
No.
No, it's really not.
Do you think with this cast, with the same cast, they will be able to get back to the Married to Medicine at its highest?
I will always have faith in this core cast. I will. But the Dr. G Sweet Tea thing is really, it's a big question mark because I just don't know. For two seasons, we've tried to force it. And like, I just don't know if it's going to work. And at a certain point, the jig is kind of up and you just kind of have to move on and try something else. And I think it's clear that it's, you know, as Toya said in the second to last episode, I'm choosing Quad. You know, she told her to that face, even though in the finale, it was like they once again held Quad's feet to the fire and was like, why can't. But ultimately, I do believe that Toya is choosing the Quad side of things. I think that that is. So I do. I just, what's hard is finding people to fill out the rest of the cast and to find, you know, who are interesting enough and connected enough. That's the hard part, I think.
And can withstand this group.
Yeah.
Sometimes I hate it when they say we're a tough group. I will say Married to Medicine is the reality show that uses the word group the most instead
they
of
do.
Every, it's like this group of women. But they have to find somebody that can withstand, like that is not going to come out like singed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because this group, like you said, they've been together for 10 years. So even if I'm mad at, if Toya's mad at Kwa, but if a newbie comes in and steps out of line, she's going to side with who she knows. And I think all the women are going to be like that, except for maybe Simone. And it makes me wonder how we said, if Simone is this producer's pet, does production want Sweet Tea and Kwa for whatever reason to come back? And now they're kind of not forcing, but not pushing, I will say, but like, want the Sweet Tea Simone connection, because then that would be a reason. Because outside of Simone and Contessa, who was just a friend of, Sweet Tea is not like that was clear at the even if they make up. And it's, I don't like getting secondhand embarrassment sometimes, like with Sweet Tea in the group.
I know.
I'm like, girl, I like you, but I think I'm just going to have to like you from your YouTube channel.
Listen, you said it great. I think the only way that I think that it could, if there is some way, as I said earlier, if they could sort of like, if they wanted to keep Sweet Tea, if they're like committed to that, and to somehow do that and just not have like Quad and Dr. G be a thing, like somehow.
Yeah.
Like if that, it just take that off the table. Like I actually don't really like hearing about them rehashing their stuff. They clearly have not resolved between them. I don't think it's dark. It feels like it's from five seasons ago. I'm good on that. And so if they recenter to be less about, it's hard because it's Married to Medicine, but it's like, if it's more about the women and not the men as much, like I just don't need, there's something about Dr. G that like, I really just can't really stomach these days. And that's the only way. But otherwise I'm just sort of like, they have a big task in front of them. I think they're like just the whole production.
Yeah.
Because it's not like it's in a bad space. I just think it's sort of like they're at a point where like they have to pick a direction, a sort of new direction, you know?
Yes.
And at a certain point, you don't want it to become too far gone, I think, down this like hamster wheel. So Oh my gosh, Shreya, we went for a long time. Sorry to keep you late. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on when it comes to Married to Medicine and this season and maybe with the future of the show?
I am going to keep it hopeful. Like you said, I'm going to have an open heart like I did with Atlanta. I am back in.
Yeah.
I gave Dr. Heavenly power over me.
Okay.
At first, by not watching. You know how some people say, oh, I love to hate watch. That is not me. If with reality TV, we don't, even if we meet these people, we don't know these people. But if they have a YouTube page, if they have a podcast, you're getting to see their personalities, right? And you're like, oh, you are that person. So it would be so frustrating for me. But when they would start laughing and joking in the middle of an argument, like it brought me back to what I loved about them in, you know, the first place. So I'm hoping that they can figure the formula out. Like you said, with Dr. G, I think there's like an arrogance, and I know what's best. With Quad, it was, I know what's best almost because I'm the man. With Sweet Tea, I know what's best because I'm older and been in this, and it's enough. So like you said, if they could just take Quad and Dr. G off of it, almost like they were never married, even though we know they were.
I know, yeah.
And just move forward. Like, Quad did say they had something in the common. They're both trying to get pregnant. But what I don't want
A nice moment. That was.
Yeah. I think because reality TV mind, right? So I'm thinking that really was a nice moment that they could bond over. Would that then be turned into something on the show? Like, oh, girl, you know, Quad has had her fifth appointment and, you know, Sweet Tea is because Sweet Tea is having trouble getting pregnant. And then if Quad were to get pregnant, I don't want that to be.
I know. Me neither.
Thing. So it's like, we don't need that. So I'm really, I have faith
that
they'll be able to get it right. And if not, it'll just have to be my show where I just enjoy it, but there's no depth. Because I think that's okay sometimes too.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think it's hard when that's not what Married to Medicine was. It has heart to it.
1,000%. Some of the best moments over the years were those moments of heart. And I think they can get back to it. But I don't know the answer. I don't.
Me neither.
The good thing it's not my job. So
yes, I heard that I heard as if Dr. Heavenly told me herself, but she did mention, I think, that they got picked up for.
That's great news.
Yeah.
Good. And not that I doubted that, but I'm so curious what it looks like. But, you know, they'll keep chugging along and we have faith. You and I have faith in this.
We have faith.
You know what? Now that I'm glad that I got you to binge.
You did. Episodes. I'm going to go finish the cup because there was a couple of episodes that I was like, okay, I'm only going to watch a little bit of this. Let me get on to the next one. But now I'm going to go back and.
There we go.
Watch. And I give all credit to Gib. I literally can show you screenshots of text messages where my friends are like, hey, do you want to come on and talk about Married to Medicine? I'm like, I'm not watching because of Dr. Heavenly. And they're like, oh, I forgot. I'm like, I've literally told you that. And now here I am recorded for an hour and some change talking about
Medicine. You had to get it out. You had to. Fresh in your mind. That's not a bad way to do it.
In 2 days. So
there we go.
I was able to get
Thank you for your service, honestly. Shreya, this has been so much fun. I feel like we really hit all the beats. You have a great podcast. What else is going on? Do your plugs. When can people listen to it? Where can people listen to it? Do all the things before we sign
off. Thank you. First of all, I want to say thank you again. I love gabbing with you. I have been a fan of yours and knew who you were. So I'm so glad that we got to connect. He's always getting me to do, now that I think about it, some things that I really don't want to do. I don't know, as Kyle called Carlton witchy poo. I don't know what to do to me, but I wouldn't change a thing. But you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at WeGo, WEIGO podcast. That stands for What Else Is Going On. I feel that I should share since Atlanta's on. I got the title of the podcast from Cynthia Bailey. Whenever Cynthia wants to get out of a situation, she'll say, now, what else is going on? And that's where I got the name of the podcast from. You can find me on YouTube at WeGo, WEIGO podcast. So if you see WeGo, that's for What Else Is Going On. Thank you for having me.
It's such a good name. And you know what? Cynthia should have said that at Kenya Moore's hair salon event. Let's just say that. But that's a topic for another time. So, Shreya, thank you so much. And what else is going on?
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gib Sonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.